Blog Talk Radio.
They said you wouldn't make it so far, and ever since they said it, it's been hard. But never mind the night you had to cry, 'cause you had never let it go inside. You worked too hard, and you know exactly what you want and need. So believe, and you can never give up. You can reach your goals. Talk to your soul and say,
I'm
Tuned in to Real Talk with Kia, where we bring it to you real. Here's your host, Kia Evans.
Great Wednesday, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to our Empowerment Teleconference. Our title is Stepping Away from Fear. Have you, ever wondered why you feel like you just can't seem to move forward? Do you ever wonder, what your life could be like if you could just get out of your comfort zone and do something totally different? Have you ever been afraid to succeed and fail because it seems like you're kind of stuck? Well, get ready for what we have in store with you today. We have Bishop Brown with us. Bishop has been on the show with us many, many times before, and I'm so excited that he's here, and he's going to talk to us on stepping away from fear in 2015. It's a brand new year. There's plenty of opportunities. A new door should be opening for us, and it's time for us to finally get away from fear, allow those chains to be broken, and walk straight into what God has purpose and destined for us to do. So I'm so excited that Bishop is here. I do see my callers. Thank you for everyone that's been calling in. I see people in chat. So we're blooming right about now. So I'm very happy. Our midday empowerment. So we're going to have a great, great show on today. I do want to ask everybody to help me welcome the one and the only Bishop Brown. Bishop, how are you doing today?
Dr. Kia, I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you. You know, we love having you on the show.
Listen, you're about to spoil me, and you're going to make me feel like I'm somebody. I thank you for having me back.
Oh, Bishop, we love you. We really appreciate you. You know, every time I reach out to you, you don't mind coming on. So we greatly appreciate, you know, everything that you have done for the show. So we are talking about stepping away from fear. So, Bishop, tell us, what is fear and what effect does fear have on our lives?
Well, fear is, and there are very many definitions that you could extrapolate, if you will, from Webster or many other places. But there is one acronym that I ran across, so it's not original, but I ran across that I feel defines the word fear more clearly, and it is this. It took the word fear, F-E-A-R, and broke it down into these words: false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Fear is strictly and simply evidence that has kind of created itself, conjured itself, brought itself before you, and it makes you think that it is a real threat. And when you begin to think that it's a real threat, the question was, what will it do to us? It paralyzes us, and we end up standing still, being stable, not moving forward, speaking forward, but literally immobile because we are afraid of what will happen because of that evidence that we see, which is really simply false.
Wow, that's good. Now, Bishop, you know, sometimes we hear a lot of times when people say, you know, it's time to get out the boat, walk on water, you know. What does that mean when they say, you know, get out of your boat? What does your boat represent?
Well, the boat represents, funny you should say that, but the boat represents your comfort zone, the thing to which you are accustomed to and used to. Safety. Think about it. The boat typically is on an ocean. Well, an ocean represents the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs of life, the ebbs and the flows, the nuances of the roller coaster of emotions to which life can hand you, the waves and the crashing, the ups and downs. And so on the water without a boat, then you're really subject to all of those ups and downs and things of that nature. But inside the boat, and especially if the boat is big enough, you really don't feel much of those occurrences. And so it becomes more of a fearful thing to feel those ups and downs, juxtaposed to just staying in a place that I'm used to and I'm comfortable inside my boat.
Wow. Now, what exactly does it take for a person to actually, because, you know, I think, Bishop, you know, sometimes when we're in our comfort zone and we're on our boat and, you know, we may feel a little bump or so, but we're still, you know, like you mentioned, we're still safe. What does it take for a person to actually get to the point where we're brave enough to actually step out, and not only stepping out, but also being able to walk it out?
Yeah. Dr. Kia, first let me say, we're not going to be able to finish this conversation with this show, just with some of the questions that you're asking and some of the things that I feel are coming up in my spirit. We don't have enough time to really help move forward. But we'll tackle it as best we can. Let's raise the scripture where Peter is on a boat, since he's all over there. They're on the ocean. And it was Peter. It was Peter. And many things can be said about Peter. We don't have time to mention all of them. But we certainly can say he represents many of us, because Peter was that one to whom was a spiritual, of course, but he had that thing in him that he had to fight all the time.
Right.
He was a cusser. that he cussed whenever the woman accused them of hanging with Jesus. So Peter had some issues. And thank God we all can identify with Peter, because most of us do.
Oh, yeah.
And it was it was the one with the issue, with the blaring issue, that is, the one to whom everyone knew the issue. There are many other folks that sit around with silent issues. His issue was just loud. And he said, Jesus, if that is you, bid me come forth. Here's one thing that we need to note from that. You are never really without the absence of fear. Fear,
right,
in and of itself will exist in any opportunity or in any endeavor that's offered to you. So it's not so much about fear, it's what we do with fear and how we handle fear. And so Peter used the fuel from fear to ask the question, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come forward. And the power of the text is simply, Jesus answered Peter and said, come. Now, Kia, note now that he never really addressed Peter. He never said anything directly to Peter. He didn't say, Peter, come forth. He didn't say that. He just said, come forth. So now here is an opportunity that's offered not just to Peter, because remember, it was Peter and the disciples that were on the boat. And when Jesus said, come, it was a platform for whoever on that boat that would look fear in the face and say this simple statement, I would rather drown with Jesus than float without it. And I feel that. I really feel that one. Peter said that I would rather drown with Jesus than be safe on the boat without him. Everyone else decided to be safe on the boat without him. Jesus jumped out on the water to go towards Jesus. And, you know, the preachers do Peter so wrong, you know, and I've done him wrong as well, because we preach how he sunk. And old Peter looked at the water, and sunk. I got all that. But the power of all of it is, at least he did something. At least he tried. And fear will have you not even trying and standing on the boat mocking all of those that did try. Laugh at me all you want. I'd rather fail forward than never fail at all. You see, it's difficult now. It's very, very difficult to share ocean-type dreams with boat people. It just doesn't work.
Wow.
It doesn't mix. You can't mix those kinds of dreams with folk to whom can't see it. It's difficult. Here's a better way to say it, brown gravy, if you will. It's difficult to articulate dangerous dreams to safe people. And so Peter did not take a moment or an opportunity to try to articulate his dangerous dream. He just jumped. And, again, he did walk on water. Now, he might have failed. He did walk on water. Now, here is how you defuse fear or pull the stinger out of fear, if you will. Failure may be factored in to you stepping out. And you can't be afraid of that. You can't be afraid of that. Because we can learn from our failures in order to do better. Because now let's think about it. Let's take some normal people and bring them to the table, because there may be folk listening to us that have no clue about Peter and that ocean and Jesus. So then let's talk about someone they do, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's story is created from all of the failures that he experienced in his life. The only reason why we consider him the GOAT, the greatest of all time. The only reason why we consider him the GOAT is he decided in middle school that when he took a chance to try for the middle school basketball team and got cut, he went back again and got cut again and went to high school and got cut again and kept going up until his senior year, where he was placed on the team and really didn't get a bunch of playing time. And he never let failure freeze his momentum. What he did with failure was use it to create other opportunities and build stamina for what it's going to take in order to succeed. You see, failure properly utilized builds stamina for you to utilize for success. And so he got in that gym and worked on that jump shot, worked on that fadeaway, worked on walking on air until he made it to Chicago Bulls, and the rest, as they would say, is history. But we would not know Michael Jordan as it is if he was not afraid to fail in any endeavor as it relates to basketball. So failure has to be factored in. And if I if we pull the sting of failure out of fear, then many of us will not have a problem jumping out of the boat into water. Because here again, when Peter jumped on the water, he did sink. But the power of it is he walked. Now, he walked towards Jesus and sunk. But nobody preaches about the part that he walked back with Jesus on the water without failing. So he learned the lesson from the first attempt going towards Jesus. So on his way back, he was able to do it successfully with Jesus. But he would have never had the opportunity if he wouldn't have jumped off the boat.
Wow. I love that, Bishop. And, you know, you're right. We don't really look at it in that perspective. Now, what would you say to those who say, you know, it's easier said than done? You know, they feel like they're at a place where they're afraid on both ends. You know, even in your comfort zone, you know, you want to go out, you want to step out, you know, you want to be successful in life, you want to get everything that God has for you. But then on the flip side of it, you know, you don't really want to move too much because you're fearful of succeeding, in a sense, and you're also fearful of failure. What would you say to that?
Well, Kia, you raised a wonderful question, a powerful question. And here again, all of those things are wrapped within, intertwined in this monster, this mysterious, abstract being called fear. And it can immobilize you, as you said. Because if I succeed, do I have enough to continue the success? Or if I fail, do I have enough to get back up again? See, our greatest enemy, most of the time, almost 9 times out of 10 here, is the enemy in me. That word phonetically. Most of the time, our greatest giant is from the neck up. It's all of those thoughts and all of those things that we have been exposed to, experienced, read or did not read, exposure or lack thereof, all working in our own mind. And see, the devil, because we put a whole lot on the devil really doesn't have a hard job at all. All he has to do is start a ripple in the river. And our emotions and everything else will carry that ripple into a wave until we end up creating what I call self-sabotaging behaviors. And so you have to learn how what we did in education, because I am an educator by profession, is practice small successes until I build myself into being able to conquer greater successes. Here's what I mean. You might not be able to do the multiplication factors from 1 all the way to 10 right now. But how about succeed at the multiplication tables at 1? 1 times 1, 1 times 2. And then celebrate those successes, because at least you know what 1 times 1 is. At least you know what 1 times 2 is. And then take that incremental success and jump to the 2 times table, then to the 3 times table. And before you know it, you're at number 10, and you thought that you couldn't make it there. But here's another word that we'll throw at you, or throw at our audience, the listening audience, brown gravy, if you will, chunk it. And by the way, brown gravy is just my play on making it plain. And my last name is Brown, and gravy is good on everything. So brown gravy, So you chunk your successes until you have built up enough momentum that you now become encouraged and have the courage to step out. But the battle begins between the neck up. You got to fight in the mind, the battlefield called the mind. And if you win that battle, if you win that battle, talking to yourself, Scripture even gives us the license to do it. Now, I'm not telling you to walk around like you're crazy, you know, mumbling and you know, those kinds of things, not unless you want to. But the Scripture talks about murmuring. It talks about murmuring. Well, what is murmuring? Murmuring is the repeating a thing over and over and over again in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind, until you are convinced that it is that thing. So I keep saying to myself over and over again, I can do it. It almost reminds me of that wonderful children's story that many of us have been exposed to, the little engine that could. And if you think about him, he never had an engine change. You see, fear will tell you that you don't have enough, that there's not enough in you, that you don't have enough to get it going. But if you read that story, they never changed the engine in the little engine that could. They never put boosters on the little engine that could. The only thing that happened with that little engine that could is he changed what he said to himself. At one point, he was saying, I can't do it. I'll never make it. But somewhere in between that and getting up that hill, he started saying, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I know I can. And eventually he did, because he fueled his courage and discouraged his fear by what he said to himself.
Wow. Wow, Bishop. The next thing that, you know, I wanted to touch base with is, do you think that we live unbalanced lives, you know, when we can be successful and basically unfearful in ministry, but then when it comes to other issues with life, such as family or our finances or things like that, do you think that unbalanced lives that way? How is that? How could we live that way?
Kia, there is not enough time in a lifetime for me to properly address that question. It is no time for me to address it. To attempt to do it would be a disservice to that question. But I'll take a stab at it just because you asked.
Okay.
You have tapped in to a major part and portion of my ministry. And the ministry the Lord has given me. It ain't mine. It's his. We're just the stewards of it. But you've tapped into a major part of the stewardship that I've been given over to by the Lord in this sense called Occupy. As a matter of fact, it's the major drive for my ministry, the Sword of Truth, our ministry, the Sword of Truth, and our fellowship, Kingdom Fellowship of Ministries. And we typically say, I occupy. And it is the point or the fact that Luke 19, and he called his 10 servants and gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Maybe the next time we come on, we can really dive deep into
really
that question. But, oh, yeah. So we are comfortable in church. And I'm going to really be frank. Well, I'm going to really throw a bunch of brown gravy on you now. Let me tell you why we're that way. Because in church, we are so comfortable with our surroundings, because nobody really challenges you in church. Typically, we'll say something like, bless your heart. Lord, help them. Help them, Lord. Yes, Lord. And put up with foolishness to which you are never pushed to sharpen yourself. And so you're comfortable being dumb. Well, Lord, well, I done said it now. You're comfortable being whatever you are, ignorant, if you will, because there is no challenge there. And God's grace and anointing is a wonderful mascara. You do know that Book of Psalms says that the anointing concealeth the matter. In other words, the anointing paints a wonderful mascara on you and make you look better than you really look. So in ministry, when everybody that becomes your cheerleaders are those to whom are going to apply that wonderful saying, bless their heart, help them, Lord, never challenges you, and so you feel like you can succeed there. Whereas when you go into a world, an anti-God, anti-Christian world that deals with all of the plethora of things that are thrown at them that don't honor God in many cases, well, they ain't going to be as nice. They're not going to have the bless your heart syndrome or statement. They're going to say, who in the world is this? And it's time you leave. And so you are challenged there. And here's what we call the Christians that they end up being challenged in those arenas. They my haters. Well, we say that even in the Christian arena. They ain't hating on you. They're challenging you. And because you don't know how to apply that anointing that you do in church in those other arenas, you falter and fail. And so you become a successful preacher and a horrible husband, a successful evangelist and a horrible wife, a phenomenal prophet and a horrible businessman. It should be synonymous. If you're going to be a phenomenal preacher, you should be a phenomenal husband. If you're going to be a phenomenal evangelist, you should be a phenomenal wife. If you're going to be a phenomenal prophet, you should be an excellent businessman and not have that despairing, that gap, if you will, between those two scenarios.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Bishop, you know, as always, we're definitely going to have to get you back for a part two. You know it. And when we bring you back, we'll be able to go even more in detail with that question. And, of course, you know, I have many, many other questions for you, but we just wanted to give them just a little noonday encouragement, empowerment on stepping away from fear. So, Bishop, I will definitely be in contact with you so we can go ahead and schedule part two. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you as always.
Hey, let's do it, Dr. Kim. Thank you for having me.
Always, Bishop. All right, to my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in on this midday. Just keep in touch with us. We'll make sure that we'll give you out the information for part two. Also, be prepared to tune in on Real Talk with Kia next Tuesday. We have some awesome information there. Going to have Pastor Wes Morgan and some other excitement for you. So make sure you stay tuned with that. All right, guys, continue to have a blessed and blessed day. Yes, sir.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, sir.
I just want to announce that we're having a called revival at the Sword of Truth this week at 105 Straw Street in Bennettville. And the Lord called it. It's a spiritual detox chain-breaking revival. If you want your 2015 to start out right without fear and all those other things, meet us at 105 Straw Street in the great city of Bennettville, South Carolina, at that place where winners worship the Sword of Truth, for a chain-breaking spiritual detox revival. The speaker is Prophetess LaTanya Powers. And last night, I can't even explain to you what happened. And the rest of this week, up till Friday, we'll be in at 6:30 with prayer, 7 with the word. And she gets up at 7:15.
Okay. All right. All right, everyone. If you're on Facebook, you can get that information from Bishop's page. His page is Robert Christopher Brown III. And, Bishop, I did see some posts about that. So it looks like it was pretty, pretty good. So it sounds good. Yes, sir. So make sure that you go to Bishop's page, get that information, so that way you will be able to join them. Thank you again, guys, and have a blessed day.
Some valleys, I have been oh so very low. I have had some rough times. Some people have really hurt me so. But Jesus was a friend who he was consistent in every way. When Satan tried to kill me, he came and he put him back in his place. He gave me the power. rough times. Some people have really hurt me so. But Jesus was a friend who, he was consistent in every way. When Satan tried to kill me, he came at it.